about here?
Genesis at the very beginning of your Bible. I shared out of 1 John last week. And I'm going to share it just to open with John, but you don't have to turn there. But Genesis chapter 1 and 2. We're putting it these, how many of you just love this picture here? Isn't that awesome? I had to get permission from the lady in it to actually use it. But we want you to take these cards. Just take one of them. There's one at your table. Just take this in where you eat or put it on your refrigerator just to remind you to pray for the journey, or put it at where you go out to eat and just let somebody see that and read that. And if they're at all interested or touched, they can come and visit us. We're going to try to do one of these every month or every other month. This was for the art show specifically. And that's just a reminder for us is how much God loves us, that's God loving us that much. Okay? He does want to hold us. He in Scripture, it says out of Romans, we used this a little bit last week, I believe, that He loved us while we were yet sinners. In the Message, it says He loved us while we were useless to Him, where we are no good for Him. We weren't in His family. We weren't serving Him. We weren't loving Him. We were a mess. And that's exactly how we love our kids, isn't it? We love our kids even when they're a mess. And He doesn't love us like we love our kids. He loves us with a perfect love and a perfect kindness and a perfect goodness. So just use that. Did you know that 90%, I heard a statistic the other day, 90% of models, of female models, have body image issues. 90% struggle with low self-esteem about their body, about who they are. And so, in that 90%, you would think that, you know, they have all of this. They have the entire world looking at them. They have an entire world admiring them. They have other people that want to be like them and people that want to be around them, yet they still suffer with low self-esteem. Low self-esteem is not based on your looks, obviously. It's not based on how much money you have, on what your position is. It's based on what you're actually thinking about yourself, regardless of what your outside looks like. So regardless of what your bank account looks like or what your ministry looks like, you're still judging yourself on how you feel about yourself. And that causes that low self-esteem. And that would be like an unloving spirit towards yourself. And the problem with being a supermodel, as some of you probably understand in your life, you might have some areas in your life where you're just like done really, really well. But as you keep doing well, and that's either taken away from you or it doesn't bring you the hope and love and life and happiness in you, you've then struggled with what did all of that really mean? Well, the problem with basing our love for ourselves or our self-esteem, either way we want to call it, is that that gets taken away from us. The first thing a supermodel realizes is, I'm getting older. I have to really, really, really work hard to be this way. There's somebody coming next behind me that's going to get the magazine covers. And so immediately, and they can have a 20-year run of being a supermodel, but immediately they have this come into the comparison, the doubt, the looking at others, knowing that what brings them prestige, what brings them position, or even invitation to the party, is going away from them. Money's the same way. Ministry is the same way. Having a spiritual gifting and basing your love for yourself based on how that spiritual gifting operates, that spiritual gifting, the Lord might take it away. The Lord might remove it for a season to give it back to you later. The position that you have, even as a parent, I'm a good parent. Even that identifier that gives me some esteem when I'm around other parents can be taken away as soon as your kid hits about 12. Right? So I want you to think about that when we're talking about loving ourselves. It's a deep-seated thing. It's a deep-seated necessity for us to love ourselves. But we, as we talked about last week, the love of myself, the love for myself, is not based on what I do. It's not based on whether I sin or don't sin. It's not based upon whether I perform religious duties or don't perform religious duties. It's based on what the Lord Jesus Christ, God, is saying about me, has said about me, is saying about me, and will continue to say about me regardless of what my body looks like, what my financial situation looks like. Okay? So we get it down that the one thing that we know is that God loves us. The entire story of the Scripture is God loves us. The entire reason to study for doctrine or theology or to study or have a quiet time is to understand deeper and deeper and deeper God loves me. Not so I can get things right, not so I can live a right life, but to get in that He loves me. Christianity is an inside-out proposition. He comes inside, He begins to heal us on the inside, and we live an outward life differently. Church is an outside-outside proposition, maybe with some inside. You get the outside right, people will admire you, you can feel good about the outside that you've gotten right, and you keep struggling to keep the outside right, and maybe that will touch the inside of you. And Jesus keeps saying, no, no, no. That was never God's intent. God's intent was always, I will be with you, I will walk with you, and you can depend upon me, and in that, and only in that do we get life. Everything else is a wrong struggle. Everything else is energy put inappropriately. So our looks, our position, our talents, our ministry, all of those things go away. So Stevie said something about love this morning, that image of holding Judah. And I think that's beautiful, and that goes right along with what we're talking about. But think about that. Too many of us now just have a mental agreement that we have the right religion. Without the remembrance or without the continuing experience of God loving us and holding us that much. When God holds us and He feels that way towards us, is the same way, but billions of times more, as Stevie looking at Judah. Because the Bible says that the way I look at Victoria and the way I treat Victoria, my love for Victoria is similar to hate compared to the God's love towards me. That it's that much greater, God's love towards me. But when we have just a mental agreement, I'm doing some right things, I'm not doing the wrong things, I'm believing the right things, without that experience, without that relationship, without that closeness, without the presence and the power of God in our life, something runs aground. Something's wrong there. And we get at that spot all the time, don't we? For some reason, we get at that spot. And we forget that this is all a love story. Even in the war, even in the discipline, it's all a love story. Even in every beginning, middle to end of the Scriptures, it's a love story based on His love for us. Based on His love for us, based on His love for me specifically. So this is something we want to start with this morning. This is one thing I know to be true. It's immutable. It's unchangeable. God loves me. And that's really the only real thing that I need to know as a Christian. But it's not just God loves me and then I make up how He loves me, but God loves me, God loves me, God loves me. And that love is God is good towards me all the time. God is moving towards me all the time. God is moving heavens and earth in my behalf. Not so I'm successful, not so that I'm better looking, not so that I have more money, not so that I have a better ministry, but that my barriers are broken down so I can be closer to Him and really inherit His kingdom here on this earth. Okay? So I know that's what I know to be true. And then out of that, just going to kind of repeat last week, out of that, we realized that out of that, our proof, our sign, the manifestation of God's love inside of me is that I begin to have this overwhelming love and desire to help my brothers and sisters in Christ. I have this thing that I want to give to the poor and the needy. I want to give. It's not out of obligation. Well, I hope if I do this, then I can get that. I can get His love. But as soon as I can't do that, or as soon as I'm worn out doing good works, then He no longer loves me, which I think really is an underlying belief under all that we would say, under all that we've been taught. I think there's an underlying stream right here of belief that says, God loves me when I'm good, just like my parents love me when I'm good. God loves me when I perform, just like my boss loves me when I perform. I think there's an underlying thing, and that underlying thing in this message is what I really, really want or believe God wants to take care of. Is that underlying stream that sense that God loves you. So when your expression of faith towards people isn't defining what the Bible says, but it's describing who God is to you. It's a complete change of using this technical term of what we've learned to say and describing this relationship that's going on in place inside. So we know that God loves us, and we know that our manifestation, in 1 John it talks about, you can't say you love God and hate your brother, otherwise you're a liar. And so we know that there's a manifestation of God's life in us, and the outward expression is love towards our brother. And that love towards our brother looks like a whole bunch of different things. It looks like giving financially. It looks like not judging them. It looks like not condemning them to hell. It looks like not judging them into damnation and judging them that they will never be anything. It looks like giving them a break. It looks like a bunch of different things. It looks like the Sermon on the Mount. Not out of obligation. Well, I have to be a peacemaker because that means I'm... But out of this life that's coming out of us, inside of us, because Jesus is doing something inside of me. And I would say, how many of you want Jesus to do something inside of you? And I'll be the first one. I got it. But you know what? It hurts. Because in order for God to do something inside of me, my entire flesh rises up and says, no. No, I don't want that, really. Oh, stop. 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 And so that condition of his love towards us, what if it gets sloppy, God? What if I learn about your grace and I just go do whatever I want to do? Or what if I stop doing what's always been successful for me and start doing what I feel like you're telling me to do? And so there's this tenderness that comes in because he's trying to constantly heal us, reveal himself to us. He's constantly doing that. And he does that in multiple different ways. So this love that we have for others just comes out of us. And then in Scripture it says that it's to love my brothers as I love myself. So we ended last week is how are we to love ourselves? There's some ways that we can love ourselves that we see out of Genesis that I'm going to share. I think I'm going to get to three of them today, but I want to talk first about why loving yourself is important. Okay? I've got it's all the same reason. I want to give you an image of why it's important to love yourself first. Why primarily you should love yourself more first, that not more, but primarily first, over your spouse, over your love for your child, over your love for anything outside of yourself. The love for you is so important. How many of you have been on an airplane? Been on an airplane, they go through the entire spiel, and what do they say? If anything goes in trouble, the face mask will fall down. And you put the face mask on the person next to you first. No, it's always put it on yourself first. And then don't just put it on yourself. Make sure it's secure and make sure you're breathing. And then help the other person. Okay? So when we look at this, if I feel obligated to give my money away, but I'm not taking care of my own personal money and I begin to give my money away, and I begin to give my money away in such a way that it hinders me from doing my job and I'm not loving myself or my family. I can give my money away out of obligation, out of loving somebody else, but not loving myself and loving myself and taking care of myself, making sure I have enough finances, making sure my family has enough finances. Then what happens is that my generosity dries up because I no longer have anything to give. It doesn't just work with finances. If I'm always out wanting to help somebody else's teenager, yet I don't have the energy for my teenager or for myself, where I'm connecting to the love of God in my life, where my help and my assistance is outflowing outside of me from the inside out, not like just giving out effort, trying to be a good person, trying to be loving, trying to be a financial giver. Think about that. I feed my children in the same way that I feed myself, don't I? I try to eat good food. I have Victoria eat good food. And so it's important for me to look at what I'm eating. It's the same way I have zero ability to follow the teachings of the apostles to give to the poor if I don't take care of my poverty first. Does that make sense? I have zero ability to give energy to a marriage or to a needy person or to a person who just needs conversation and friendship, if I'm not taking care of my own energy first, my own friendships first. There's something about that first that primarily we need to learn to love ourselves. And it says, love your neighbor in the same way as you love yourself. All right? So I set myself up to be able to be a giver as soon as I set myself up to be a receiver, to love myself in such a way that I'm connecting myself to my Father, and then I become a giver. Does that make sense? All right. So God's end result in this game, in this life, in this journey, is not to get me to do good things. Did you know that? I hope you know that by now. But I think there's an underlying stream in here that God just wants me to do good things to bring Him glory so He gets satisfied and He's happy with me. I just think that God wants to do good things, that I'm nice and I do something so people can say I'm a good Christian. No. God's always, we see it in Genesis, God's always wanting inside, relationship, closeness, the river of life flowing out of me. I'm not taking this big huge pipe and not touching it, not getting in the water flow and trying to aim it on somebody so that they get God's blessing. I'm trying to receive His blessing into me, and it does something inside of me. It's meant to do something inside of me. And then as that begins to be healed, layer upon layer, deeper and deeper, I've come to find out, which much to my amazement, it gets pretty deep, doesn't it? That the nature of sin in us is probably just me. So y'all want to change, but y'all have already changed enough that you don't really have to change anymore. But I'm shocked. I'm so surprised when I'm praying and I felt the Lord poking somewhere. And I would always have said, yeah, sure, take it, God, you're Lord of my life. Oh, but wait, it's not get specific. It's so easy to say you're Lord of something, but not this area over here. So Christianity, I'm going to repeat this, an inside-outside proposition. God wants to take care of what's inside of us. It's not just our spirit. It's our mind, our emotions, our will. It's how we feel about ourselves. It's how we feel about our life. It's how we see Him. He wants to change the inside. Loving yourself is important because it allows you to offer something to the people around you. Okay? Now, if you're gasping, if you're on the airplane and the oxygen's low and you're gasping and thinking you can hold your breath while you get the oxygen mask on somebody else, you're both going to be dead. And too much ministry, too much of the Christian life has been, I need to work a lot and I need to get something done, and it's exhausting. It's exhausting. Every minister that's in their 40s or who's made it past their 40s in ministry knows it is exhausting because it's like you're doing something outside of yourself instead of something that's flowing in through you. But the Christian life is the same way, isn't it? You're not out there trying to be good people. You're not out there trying, working hard to be a good employee. You're not out there trying to be a loving neighbor. You're allowing Him to love you. You're responding to His love for you and His voice to you. And then you're acting upon that. And that I think, is why Christianity spread like wildfire. Hundreds of thousands of people in just a few decades. Hundreds of thousands of people. Then in 200 years, it's just taken over the Roman Empire, which is a majority of the known world at that time. Because of the experience with someone, not with an intellectual agreement towards something, not with, yes, I will follow that standard of religion and that will make me a good person and I'll get other people to ascribe to that. That's quickly what it became after the 300s. And so when we see that, we loving ourselves is important. It's important for you to love yourself. It's important for you to be good to yourself. That's important. And I don't mean self-indulgent. I don't mean do whatever you want. I don't mean give everything yourself other than your kids. I don't mean that at all. I mean, there's self-sacrifice in there. You can read through the epistles and it talks a lot about what happens to those who lack self-control and self-discipline, but those who are self-indulgent. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about thinking about yourself in such a way as God thinks about you. That specifically, God loves Ron. Specifically, God's favor is just shining upon Ron. He's looking at Ron, wanting something for Ron today, wanting to give him relationship, wanting to give him the reality and experience of who the Godhead is and the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm getting goosebumps. That He's saying that to all of us. It's an amazing, ridiculous concept that's true. So when we say God loves us, we need to kind of stop saying that. God loves me. God loves me, and God loves you specifically. And it kind of switches everything when, I see Victoria. Victoria can almost outrun me, and she's 5 years old. That's crazy. I mean, I've got stumpy little legs. We all already established that one time when Jim spoke. You know why? That child loves to run. She can run straight out four blocks. It's amazing. She's just boom, boom. Kreisha can't get Kreisha. She's been outrunning Kreisha since she's about three. This kid can run. She loves to run. In fact, if she's in a race, she is compelled to run so fast, we have to always tell her to slow down because she starts leaning forward to run faster and her legs can't keep up with where she wants to go, and she typically falls down sometime in a short race. That kid can take off and run because she's acting like she was built to run. But see, we're that same way. We need to act like I'm built to just be this Christian that I hope I can be. And the way isn't to try harder, to work out more, to take, you know, more magic pills and more supplements, but it's to like get connected to Him. And then I can be this person. I can be this person of peace that I want to be. That the anger in me will subside, the fear will begin to go away. Not manage it so I can manage my life so there's nothing fearful around me, but still be afraid. But that it's inside of me, and it's very deeply personal. It's very personal to each one of you. That God loves you so much. So why loving yourself is so difficult? So why is it so important? It's so important. The entire story is a love story. And I'm not sure it's a love story about God and all of humanity, which it sort of is, but it's kind of like the Hunger Games. It's a love story between individuals. Very, very micro level. God is so in love with you. And to get that and to remember that and then to ask Him what that means and what that looks like and how that changes things. And then we base our love for others based on that. God has the right to judge me. And God will one day judge me. And He has the right, because He's perfect, to condemn me. He has the right to want to stay away from me, to be hateful or angry towards me. Yet he just keeps pouring His love out for me. So therefore, when I'm around others, I can be more loving. Not working it up. I love Him, but I don't like Him. You know, things like not making reasons why I can't be around Him and things like that. I've got a couple reasons why it's so difficult to love yourself. The first one is because you know more about yourself than anyone else. You know how you've treated your employer or your employees. You know that. And I know that's in some of your heads you hear that. You hear how bad you are. You know what's going on in your marriage. You know what's going on with your children. You know when you stole from your boss. You know how you are. You even know how much judgment you have in your head towards others. You know how condemning you are of other religions and other people's faith. And people who even say they're Christians, but you don't think they are. And you know that. So how can you love yourself in such a way as God does? Well, you have to forgive yourself. You have to give yourself a break. You have to show yourself grace. And one of the reasons why it's so hard to show other people grace and release other people into freedom and let other people make their own choices, because we hear our own condemning head towards us and we don't set ourselves free. We have to allow ourselves to make mistakes, allow ourselves to be forgiven and to believe that we're forgiven. We know how our outward life is often a facade from what our inward life looks like. We know how much energy we're taking to set our life to look like this, but how often lonely it is right here. And so we have that, and we know. And so how can then I love myself when I'm that way? Well, God does. If we get that, the creator of the universe that creates everything, that created the Rocky Mountains, the Grand Canyon, the oceans, the North Sea. For some reason, He created a tiny island up in the North Sea. We don't know why yet. Maybe something one day great will come from it. Think about that. He created all of that. He says, I love you just the way you are. Come to me all that you are. Heavy, weary, laden, down, sinful, sick, disease, everything. Come to me. We see that example with Jesus all the time. Those of you who are blind, those of you who have leprosy, those of you who are outcast in your culture, Those of you who are tax collectors, those of you who are Pharisees in your culture, the one, everybody come to me. No barrier for who comes to Him. And so we know more about ourselves, and we hear and we see what goes on inside of us pretty loudly. There's this voice. We would say, Jesus loves me. It's the first thing we learn is, again, Jesus loves me. But there's an underlying voice here, but. There's an underlying voice here that says, but you are this. But you're acting this way. But you need to wait until this time. All right? And then I think another reason is I think some of us have like religious bondage in that we think that loving ourselves would be a bad thing. When we hear even loving ourselves, we can hear self-indulgent, the first thing we can hear. We can hear arrogance or pride. We can hear that's not right. I have to love everybody else first. You know? And there's a group called the Joy Club, is Jesus, Others, and You. Years and years ago, and it always put everybody first. Put everybody first. But it's really not that way unless it's coming out of something right inside of you. Because He's not looking for action. He's not looking for deeds. He's not looking for works. He's working for belief to well up inside of you. The belief of His love, His kindness, His goodness, His compassion, and His grace towards you. That's what He's looking for. He's looking for that inside of you. God loves you. It's not based on what you do. It's based on who you are. And ultimately, loving ourselves properly, scripturally, comes down to embracing God's passionate, reckless love for us as His kids. I want everybody to say, I am a kid. I am a kid. Woohoo! I am a kid. So when we pray, we're not praying as 47-year-old or 58-year-old or 20. We're not praying to somebody who's been in church for 40 years. We're praying as a kid, and we're having conversation with somebody who wants to do everything good and right and perfect towards us. And that switches everything. And His love is understanding and receiving His love, not achieving His love. Once again, we'd all say, well, the love of God is free, but I feel like I always have to pay a price down here. I feel like I always have to do something. What if I fail? What if I fall? What if something happens here? But we receive. And our place is to do the work. It's out of John 6:28-29. If you missed this last week, then they asked Him, what must we do? What must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one who has sent me. To believe God is our, that's where we put all of our energy. We don't put our energy to not being addicted. We don't put all of our energy to being good and doing good works. We put all of our energy, all of our work, towards believing in Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, and the fullness of the Godhead available to us today, right now, within us. Okay? Not seeking out, begging Him to come and be with us, but assuming, thanking Him right now that He's here with us today. So it's a matter of it's like this. I think it's a matter of not trying to get God to come and be kind to us, but to receive the kindness that He's already done. Not to get God to come and heal us, but to thank Him for the healing that's already there. Not getting God to come and forgive us, but to receiving the forgiveness that He's already given us for the things that we're going to do tomorrow. To already receive that, to receive that, and to believe that's who He is, that He is this amazing God that does these things. Okay, turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 127. I've got another verse up there. I'm going to read that Genesis 2:7 in just a minute, but 127. I'm just going to stay in Genesis for the next 10 minutes or so. I have no idea how long I've gone. Anybody? How long have I gone? I've been gone longer than 10 minutes. 30, okay. So I have another 30 minutes since we started 10 minutes early. So, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them. And then go to Genesis 2:7. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now, I love this. Everybody do this just with their arms. Just breathe in. It's the breath of God. It's the breath of God. That God breathes life into you. God breathed life into Adam. God breathed life into you to be born. And God breathes life into you every single day. That's an amazing thing, to receive that life, to receive who He is, to receive the gift of life. How loving is that, to wake up every morning going, I'm alive because of Him. I have everything I need today. It's all forgiven already. To breathe that in into life, how loving is that, to breathe in that day? Say, oh, I got to go to work this morning. Oh, I got to get up and go to Bible study. I have to have my Bible study time. There's nothing wrong with Bible study. But it's to breathe in His life that He has given you and that He promises you. It's not just that He gave it to Adam. He promises us life. Life more abundantly. Life that only can be received and cannot be achieved. Life that you can only breathe in and actually believe that there's something there and receive that. And that begins to change everything. So when you're thinking of this, when this breathe deep here, here's an exercise for you to do. Can you open your hands again? Just close your eyes. And just breathe in. Just breathe in through your nose. Ah, just the breath of life. The one who is life. And you can see it as God, or you can see it as Jesus being really close, or you can see it as the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's the fullness of God. And it says you're breathing in, it's thinking life, you're thinking, God created me. He created me on purpose. He loves His creation, and He loves me specifically. God doesn't only love me, He knows me. He knows me at my worst, and He loves me, and He forgets and ignores everything I do wrong. He remembers it not at all. God's Spirit is here right now as I breathe it in. He's here, and He's able, and He's willing, and He's waiting for me to receive Him and to believe Him and to walk in that belief. Who just received the Holy Spirit this morning as we do this exercise this week, Father God, we just receive Your Spirit, Your life inside of us, Your presence, the reality of who You are, unencumbered by sin, unencumbered by doubt, unencumbered by our lack and our own poverty in our lives. We just thank You for that. Amen. So breathe deep. Breathe deep. God is good, and He's specifically good to you. There's that immutable, that unchangeable truth that God loves you. Well, it's an immutable truth. God is good towards you. God is a good God. He is good towards you right now. He is being good towards you today. He created you with a plan. What would change in your life if you breathed and believed that and received that every morning? I think something would change. Something would change in how you do it and what you do. And if you have difficulty visualizing, read through the Psalms. The Psalms says, Psalms 19:1, don't turn there. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. And just breathe that in. Just breathe in. I don't care. It's a sunset or the backyard at your pool or wherever you're at. You just close your eyes. You just breathe in. Just breathe in what the Lord is and who He is. If you have a problem with imagery, read through the Psalms. And notice that David's not talking about, if everything's awesome and you're awesome also. He's talking about, man, things are bad and you're awesome. Where are you? Are you even going to show up? Oh, you showed up. This is great. God is always moving towards us for our good, for His glory, for our benefit. Second one in Genesis chapter 2 there. Turn to Genesis chapter 2 is follow the path. I'm going to talk about two follow the paths. But they're not different at all. I want you to get that. They're not different at all, but I'm going to talk about a spiritual follow the path and a practical follow the path. I was going to read all of Genesis 2, 8 through 17, but I'm going to go to 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. Follow the path. There's a singular spiritual path that we've got to follow. And it's the same for every person of every generation of every culture. And that is, and it's the most loving thing you can do for yourself, is be dependent upon Him. Be dependent upon Him. Be dependent upon Him. Be dependent upon Him. That's the most loving thing you can do for yourself. That's the most loving thing you can do for your family, is to be dependent upon the Creator of the universe, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the breath of life, the Holy Spirit.